Hi, as you said, I'll be talking about the responses of four ornamental grasses to saline irrigation water. So just an overview of the study. So obviously I'm from Utah. We come from a very dry state, and as the population continues to grow, water demand is rising. And so something that, here's another graph I just wanted to show you. So on, these are the 10 driest states according to annual precipitation. And as you can see here, Utah's third on the list. We've got Nevada and Arizona as 1 and 2. And so our Governor Herbert has asked Utah residents by 2025 to reduce water use by 25%. And so as you can see here, as far as water use goes, 64% of it is on landscape irrigation. And so using recycled water sources is a viable way to conserve water in arid and semi-arid regions. And this type of water source has a very high salinity level, which can cause salt damage on our plants, such as salt burn and necrosis. And this can, as we said before, impose a lot of stress on plants. And so in order to keep our plants looking aesthetically appealing in our landscapes, we would like to use plants that are more salt tolerant. And so ornamental grasses have been selected for the study because they are popular and they are known for a high drought tolerance, which is important in our semi-arid regions. And they also require low maintenance input, and they have unique textures and patterns that they add to our landscapes. And an estimated amount of $158 million worth of ornamental grasses are sold annually in the U.S. And however, the information on salinity tolerance of our ornamental grasses is very limited. And so the objective of our study was to evaluate four ornamental grass species to saline irrigation water. And we want to find the species that will be the best for our landscapes. So we received our plant materials from Hoffman Nursery. And the four species that we observed were purple lovegrass, maiden grass, switchgrass, and little bluestem. Three of these grasses are originally from North America. And the maiden grass is from Asia in their temperate regions, but it is commonly used here. The plants were potted in a soilless substrate, 75% peat moss and 25% vermiculite, and the greenhouse conditions were monitored every day. And they, as you can see here, the days stayed at 26.2 degrees Celsius with slight variance, nights at 19.6 degrees Celsius. Oh, whoops, I did not mean to do that. Okay. So the materials and methods, plants were irrigated weekly with a saline solution at an EC of 5 or 10 over the course of 65 days, and our control solution was kept at 1.2 EC. And then we irrigated the plants regularly with just the control solution with no added salt. And then 10 plants per treatment per species were used. And we monitored the leachate solution EC, plant growth, visual quality data were collected. And so the way we measured our leachate solution is something called a pour-through method. After 30 minutes of our irrigation, we would add 100 milliliters of DI water, which allowed the leachate to drain from into the saucer. As you can see in that picture in the corner, we would set the pots up on top of another pot and then allow the water to just drain out into the saucer. And then we would take that little pink meter in the bottom of the screen to measure the EC. And we collected the visual quality. That was a very big part of our data. A 0 meaning dead, a 1 signifying over 90% of the leaves would be damaged, 2 moderate foliar damage, 50 to 90%, 3, slight foliar damage, less than 50%, 4, good quality with minimal foliar damage, and 5, excellent with no foliar damage. And then our plant growth, our height, leaf area, number of tillers, and shoot dry weight were all measured. So this is our visual score results. As you can see, there our Panicum virgatum and our Escoparium showed no significant amount of visual damage. Visual quality decrease between our control treatments and between our EC10 treatment. And then our eSpectabilis and nSinensis showed slight foliar damage, but our EC10 groups showed a score of 3 or higher. So not too much foliar damage was done to these plants. And then when height was measured, we showed slight decreases in height between all of the species. So as you can see, M. sinensis and P. virgatum didn't show as much height decrease. And then with counting the numbers of tillers at harvest, our M. sinensis and P. virgatum showed hardly any variance, as you can even see here on our M. sinensis. Our EC5 was actually a thinner plant than EC10 in that group. And then in our eSpectabilis and Escoparium showed the greatest amount of variance between our EC10 group and our control group. And then shoot dry weight data. Each plant showed about 40% or higher decrease between our control groups and our EC10 groups. And here's a picture of the plants that we took at the end of 65 days. So our P. virgatum and our Escoparium plants, as you can see there, there's not a whole lot of foliar damage, but there is slightly, for instance, on our EC10 picture, it shows and then with these two groups, the eSpectabilis and nSinensis, there was slight foliar damage. It's kind of hard to tell in the pictures, but you can kind of see the fall burn on the leaves, although not too much. And so with our conclusions, all ornamental grasses, grass species showed a good visual quality at the end of the harvest. As a result of salt-induced water deficit, plant height, leaf area, number of tillers, and shoot dry weight did decrease to some extent. And all ornamental grasses showed a very strong tolerance to selenium levels used in research. And then these are our acknowledgments to those who supported us during our study. And I'm done with my presentation.
So how long was your experiment? Was 65 days?
65 days.
Do you think that was long enough?
I think so. It gave us a great amount of time to monitor the plant growth. I mean, I'm sure we could have collected more data if we had gone longer.
So how big were the plants when it started?
So they came in little containers that were about 2 inches, and the grass plants were probably about 6 inches tall, and then we potted them into pots.
And you started the experiment right away when they were plugged?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Aerogrossis native to Utah?
Aerogrossis to Utah, yes. Yeah, well, not specifically Utah, but the North America region. So, thank you.
So what's the typical salinity of the recycled water that people use? Is it in that 5-10 EC range? Or
yeah, it tends to be within the 5 and 10 range, yeah.